Continue picking up in the Gemara, five lines from the top of Chesam Rav Aleph with the words of Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon Amrim b'Echa b'Tishrei. So there's a machlokas when the new year, when the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema is going to be. So we had the first day that we discussed at length was Echa b'Elul. Now we have Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon. They learned that it is the first of Tishrei. So the Gemara wants to analyze first quote in Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to reject Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to first quote Rabbi Yochanan as to what the machlokas is all about. Amr Rabbi Yochanan u'shneim mikra echa darshu. They both learned out from the same pasuk. Shneim, the pasuk says, this pasuk is in Tehillim. Lav shucharim matzoin va'amakim ya'atfu var yatro af yashiru. Literally, the sheep of the flock that became like pregnant, and the valleys are putting themselves like with clothing, and they put themselves the animal food. They shout joyfully and they even sing. That's what the translation of the pasuk says. So what's this pasuk talking about? Rabbi Meir, so if Rabbi Meir understands, right? That was Tanakama. Tanakama now we're defining as Rabbi Meir. He's understanding. Imasai lavo shucharim matzon. When do the sheep of the flock become pregnant? Bizmancha amakim yatfuvar. At the time when the valleys literally are putting themselves with animal food. They're like putting a cloak. They're putting a yatfuvar. Atifa, like they're putting on the clothing of animal food. So when does this happen that they're putting themselves with this animal food in front of them? That happens in the month of Adar, because Adar, Rashi points out, the crops already come to begin to sprout, and therefore they're already noticeable. So that's the month of Adar. So then mis arbus ba Adar. So then it comes that the sheep become pregnant in Adar. So when are they going to give birth? Violetus ba Av. They're going to give birth in the month of Av. Usually it's 5 months to give birth, actually points out, for the small animals. Therefore, if a sheep gives birth at an Adar, it's going to still give birth by the end of Av. So that's what we're understanding. You have Rosh Hashanah, Shalan, Elul. So then what after? When should be the Rosh Hashanah for them? Immediately after they're born. The last of them are going to be born in the end of the month of Av. So then Elul, right away, the next month, should be when the Rosh Hashanah for them is applicable. Rabbi Elazar, b'Shimon, Yimrim, Ema, say, La, v'shu, charim, ha-tzoyin. When do we assume that the sheep of the flock become pregnant? Bizman, sheh, yisro, ha-veshu, at the time when the crops are literally shouting for joy, when they're springing. Ema, say, shibolim, omer, shira. When are they singing? B'Nisan, they're singing in the months of Nisan, because in Nisan, Rashi points out that the crops ripen and their stalks become ready to harvest. And when the wind is blowing, therefore they're going to be ki'ilu. Therefore, it sounds like they're singing, because when the wind blows back and forth, it makes these noises that sound like they're singing. So therefore, we're understanding that the sheep are becoming pregnant in Nisan. V'ilodas be'elul, they're giving birth in Elul. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah Shalom Tishrei. And then that would come out. Then again, when they're giving birth, there's always the month before the month of the Rosh Hashanah is going to be. What comes out, the Rosh Hashanah is going to be by Tishrei. So the Gemara then says, V'idach Nami, then according to the other Tanner of Meir, what is he going to do with the Pasuk Haksiv, Yisro Af Yashiru, that the Pasuk says that the crops are going to be shouting joyfully even when they're singing, showing that the sheep become pregnant in the month of Nisan. So what's Pshat? So the Gemara answers, Ahu, the Alpha Sahav de Nisan. That's referring to the Alpha, so usually the late animals, meaning the ones that are late to become pregnant, those are only ones becoming in Nisan. But generally, most are mating and conceiving during Adar. There are some that are later that are going to be conceiving in Nisan. So the Gemara says, though, V'idach Nami, so according to Ben Arulaz and Rishimun, the Pasuk also says, Ha'aksiv Amakim Yasuvar, which we learned before, that the valleys are literally, they're putting on their garments and with the animal food, indicating that the animals become pregnant in Adar. So what do they do with that? So the Gemara answers, Hahu b'charavsia da'asen ba'adar. That refers to the early ones that are coming and mating early in the month of Adar. So the Gemara has a major problem with the understanding that this is the machlokas, because bishlam the Reb Meir kidichsit. Now I understand Reb Meir because the pasuk can understood labashu chari matzon, that the sheep of the flock become pregnant bisman she'amakim yasuvar, at the time when the valleys themselves are going to be covered with animal food. The ikanami sro afishu, and there also is going to be some that are going to become pregnant at a later point that are going to be at a later point, which would then the pasuk would make sense. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ibchavi baylo. According to Rabbi Elazar, the pasuk doesn't make any sense because the pasuk says lavoshu chari matzon. The sheep become pregnant, bizman she yisrof yeshu, in the time when the crops, they shout joyfully and they're singing, v'ikad nami da makim yatzuvar, and then there also those become pregnant at a later point. So if that's the case, it would be more mistabers, as Rashi points out, it's more mistabers that the pasuk would first indicate when do most sheep become pregnant, and only then at the time when some do. So therefore, according to Rabbi Meir's understanding, I understand that's exactly what the pasuk is doing. But according to the explanation of Elazar Rabbi Shimon, how did the pasuk first mention The pasuk doesn't mention first Nisan. It first mentions Adar, and then only afterwards does it mention Nisan, which is incorrect. It should be the opposite way. So the Gemara says. That the attack is a problem. Elam Rava. So therefore, the Gemara rejects this, and Rava gives a different answer. The Kuli Alma Lavoshu Chari Matzot. Everybody agrees that the sheep of the flock are going to come pregnant. Bisman Shamaki Metuvar. At the time, the valets are putting themselves with the animal food. They're putting on the kilu, the garments of the animal food. Ba'Adar, which is in the month of Adar. The Halcha Ba'ai Krakim Iflaki. Here, they're disagreeing with the following. Pasuk. The pasuk is in Tvar. The pasuk says Aser to Aser. We should be familiar with this. We lay in this right before we get in. We lay in this a lot when we lay in on the Yamim Tovim. It starts off with Aser to Aser. Called Vazrefa Hayotze Shadeh Shana Shana. You should take off the maizros from the crop of your planting. Why does it say Aser to Aser twice? This is an allusion to the fact that B'shnei Maizros Hagadol Medar. We're talking about really two types of. Maisers. We know there's two types of five elemental maisers. One is maiser behema, achad maiser behema, achad maiser dogan. We know that you'd have to take off the tenth of every tenth animal, right? You have to give that to the kohen, and the same thing, you have to take off one of the tenth of the maisers of your produce also, right? You have truma first, and then you have the tenth of that afterwards of maiser rishon and the maiser sheni is referring to your produce. So everybody agrees that Torah is alluding to two different types of maisers. One is the maiser behema. One is maiser behema. One is maiser of the produce. Of Meiser Dagan. So now the Gemara says everybody learns that we learn one from the other. Just how to compare them is the machlokas over here. Rabbi Meir Savar Makish Meiser Behemel Meiser Dagan. Meir holds that we should compare taking off the Meisers of animals, taking off the produce, to teach you the following: Ma Meiser Dagan Samach LeGamaro Yisuro. Just as regard to the taking off the produce, it must be taken close to when its growth is completed. Af Meiser Behema Samach LeGamaro Yisuro. So too with regards to taking off the animals, you take off the you take off the animals when they're completed, and when we're assuming when they're giving birth, therefore the animals finished giving birth at Av, the new year would be Elul. Rabbi Lezer b'Shimon Sabri Makish Meiser Behema LeMeiser Dagan. Right? No, there's a different comparison between the fact that the produce should be compared to animals. The taking off of Meiser is the taking off the one tenth. Ma Meiser Dagan Rosh Hashanah Shel Tishrei. We know that Meiser Dagan, the new year, is regards to Tishrei. Af Meiser Behema Rosh Hashanah Shel Tishrei. So too, with regards to taking off the animals, it should be done in Tishrei. So therefore, we're learning out from the fact that how to learn out what exactly was the drasha from. Is it mamish that it literally should take off the Meisers at the same time, or is it just when they're completing, similar to when the animals are completing, so too similar to that when the produce is completing, that's when you should take off the drusha. That would be the elo, that would be the nafkamina of how to be dorish this drusha. But everybody agrees to this drusha. That seems to be the Gemara's conclusion, that Aser Taser teaches you that's where we compare with the Meiser Behema to Meiser Dagan. Now up to the next part of the Mishnah, which told us, Be'achad B'tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'shanim. Then on the first of Tishrei is the new year for marking the new year. So Gemara asks, L'mayhilchasa, what is the nafkamina if it's the new year? So Gemara says, Amar Papalish Taros, it's relevant to writing documents. The new year from the king's reign is going to be understand when the king took over, when his king reign started, every new year. So that even if he started in Elul, the next year would be year two of his reign. This stan, as we learn in the Mishnah, tells us Shtari Chovan Mukdamin Psulin. If you have a pre-dated document, it's going to be possible. We explained earlier why that should be. The Gemara already discussed this. We saw this before. The reason that when you predate a document, it's usher is it's possible is because, let's say I lent money to Reuven, and I lent money to Reuven in right now, and so we're in Cheshvan. But I told him that really could write it in Elul. So if I sold any properties from Elul till right now, till Cheshvan, it's not fair to the person that I sold it to, because there's a concept called a shibud. There's a lien on a property. If there's a lien on a property, the halacha tells you that you're allowed to collect it from the person who has the earliest lien. The same thing in American law, bizman hazeh lahavdil, but you have the same thing with title insurance, right? That's the whole concept of a title, of checking out the properties to make sure that there's nobody who's owed the money beforehand. So when I'm lending him, and there's a halacha that usually when the guy's buying a property, there's a call, there's something that there's understanding that he has to check out to make sure there's no lien on a property. He has to do his due diligence to make sure that there's no lien on the property. However, if he doesn't do that, that's his fault, so he's going to lose the property, then he'll have to come back to Reuven and then be able to try to claim his money back to Reuven that he bought it for. Let's say, again, he bought it for $100,000. He's still entitled to that $100,000, but then he has to go schlep back to Reuven and try to get his money back from Reuven. So now, when I'm lending Reuven in Cheshvan, so the halacha is the only property that I would sell, any property, so he has a lien on all my property, all my karka, all my land property. So any property that I sell afterwards, everyone knows that there's this concept that a halva has a cold. So everybody knows that I'm in debt right now, that I owe $100,000 to Reuven. So anytime I sell any other of my properties, the person Shimon who's now buying it knows that the chance is that maybe I won't be able to pay Reuven, and Reuven will be able to collect that property. So that's only from now and going forward. If we go back to the early earlier time, of the time when I pretend that I sold an elul, that's not fair, because that he'd be able to collect properties that were really, in fact, not entitled to him. So therefore, Chazal tell us that all the shtar chuv is pasal. It's machlokas Rishon mentioned, if it's mamish pasal legamrei, or maybe we could just say that you can only collect from the later shibud, the later lien, when the actual date it happened. Many Rishonim understand the whole shtar chuv is completely pasal. Ve'amucharen k'sherin, however, if I post-date it, then only thing the malv is the only one losing out, so there's no shayla that everyone would be okay. Meaning, if really I lent him right now on Cheshvan, but we post-date it, we write that it's really, I'm not lending him till Kislev, so all that is ruin the malva's ability to be collecting the property that was sold, because if he sells anything in the interim from now, Cheshvan until Kislev, I can't collect any of that because I'm only writing my shtaris from Kislev, so that would be okay, that would be halakhically okay. So there's important to note what year we're in. If you write the wrong year, that would be a predated document. For an earlier year, it would be a predated document and be puzzled. So you have to know which years we're counting from the king's reign. So the Gemara says, "V'hatanan." Don't we learn in the Mishnah, which said, "V'achad b'Nisan Rosh Hashanah," that we said before? The Mishnah told us that the first day of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the king. So which is it? Rambam and the Ma'alchus. So we said, "What halacha is this for? That the first of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings?" The Amar Chisra told us, "Lishtalois." This is relevant to dating documents. So according to Rapapa, the Mishnah seems to be contradicting themselves. When is it Rosh Hashanah? Is it the Lashtaros is for the halacha of the kings? Is Nisan? So which is it? So the verse is Lokasha. Kan the Malchay Yisrael, Kan the Malchay Umos Olam. That there's no difference. We had this answer before that when the document is dated using a Jewish king, then we're going to count them from the months of Nisan. When we're talking about a non-Jewish king, we're going to count them from the months of Tishrei. And then we had before that whole sugya of the Gemara was Marech over there, that if it was a king who was a good king, then maybe the Yavish that we had over there, that maybe potentially that would be something which could be counted from Nisan as well. But we see that Jewish kings fundamentally Nisan and Goyish kings are Tishrei. So Gemara says, wait a second though. Halaha de Marv Chista. Rav Chista told us a chiddush that was the halacha. Lashon Ha'el Malchei Yisrael. The Mishnah which taught us the month of Nisan is only regards to Jewish kings. And Malchei Musa Olam Mitzvah Menina. We should be familiar with this, the fact that there's a chiddush, because Rav Chista already taught this on Daf Gimel, and he told us that there's a difference between the two, and he qualified the Mishnah. But then the Gemara asks Rav Chista, "Mas Nisan al Shmunim?" And then Rav Chista is just teaching us something that's very simple that comes straight out of the Mishnah, that there's a chiluk of the Mishnah that we're talking about right now in this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. So clearly, there's no chiddush of Rav Chista telling us that halacha. We know beferish in the two Mishnayos that one is referring to a Jewish king, one is referring to a non-Jewish king. Rav Chista doesn't have to teach us this halacha. So the Gemara says, no, there is a chiddush of Rav Chista. Rav Chista kriyas Mishnah. Rav Chista is coming to teach you that they can be learned out from the psukim. That's a chiddush of Rav Chista. Rav Chista's proof is from psukim that comes the non-Jewish kings are counted. They're not counted from Nisan, rather from that of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, Levi's im, or you could give another answer. Rav Chista karvizira mastin. Rav Chista under term stands like Zero. He doesn't understand whether we say that it's the new year as referring to the counting for Shtaros as Rav Papa, rather Rav Chista therefore found it necessary to explain that Nisan is the month for Jewish kings and not for non-Jewish kings. He doesn't assume that Tishrei is for Shtaros. The Rav Zera Amar Letzkufa, because Rav Zera says that Tishrei is considered a new year with regards to the seasons, that we calculate the solar and the lunar seasons beginning at the beginning point of the creation of the world, which would be Tishrei. Reb Elazar, and that would be the opinion of Reb Elazar that says Damar Tishrei Nivra Olam, that Tishrei is the world is created. Then we started Tkufas. When are we starting to count? When is considered spring? When is considered exactly all those four seasons are going to start from the month of Tishrei. Reb Chista therefore had to explain that the Mishnah's earlier reference to Nisan was that of the Rosh Hashanah LeMelachim only applies to Jewish kings, but not to non-Jewish kings. So this halacha has nothing to do with Shtaros over here. He doesn't agree with Reb Papar's understanding of the Mishnah. So that was the second understanding. So Mar says Reb Nachman Yitzchak Amar Lidin. So just another Reb Nachman Yitzchak says that the first of Tishrei that we should be familiar with this, hopefully, is that the first of Tishrei Hashem decides what's going to happen to the entire world until the next Tishrei. That's a shayla. That's a very big shayla. Can Hashem also decide something that will happen in 2 years from now? Can you have a gzar din for multiple years? That's a big shayla. That there's some understanding that yes, that you can already, like for the good and for the bad. Let's say a person, Hakadosh Baruch Hu could decide that there's a certain business deal a person's going to embark in this year, and that business deal is going to last him for 3 years, and he'll have parnasa for the next 3 years. That could really be decided on Rosh Hashanah for multiple years. And Chas Lera also that potentially that a person who's very sick, it could be that Hashem already decided the previous year that it could that sickness already that he's supposed to be Zardin already on the year after, let's say. So, but either way, that was decided on a Rosh Hashanah, but for sure Rosh Hashanah goes from 1 year to the next. That's Pasha. There are those who want to explain what I just said that would be even further Chiddush that maybe I could apply for multiple years from Rosh Hashanah, but either way, that's the concept that we're judged on Rosh Hashanah. The pasuk says, "Mereishis Hashanah ve'adah Harish Hashanah." This pasuk, the whole pasuk, just to read it inside, says someone Eretz Yisrael specifically. Eretz Asher Hashem lekecha dorish esa tamid neshem lekecha ba mereishis Hashanah ve'adah Harish Hashanah. This is actually referencing two. Hashem giving rain to the land of Eretz Yisrael, and we know that the Eretz Yisrael is the center for judgment. That the Gemara in Tainus learns out that that the rain, the Ikar rain, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Eretz Yisrael. Everything else is just remnants. That all the judgments, so similar, we're expanding, and not just the judgment of the rain, but judgment of everything is done from Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So Gemara learns out, Mereishis Sason Idon Amaya B'Soifa. This means from the beginning of the year, you're going to be judged on what will happen at the end of the year. So Gemara says, Mimayi Tishrei, but how do I know that this pasuk refers to Tishrei? Never mentions Tishrei in this pasuk. Granted, there's a concept that there's some point, once it's the beginning of the year, you could be judged for the entire year. But when is the beginning of the year? Maybe it's Nisan. So Gemara says, so how do I know that it's talking about specifically Tishrei? The pasuk says, Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar B'Kesel Yom Chagim. You're familiar with this pasuk because we say this a lot of times in Rosh Hashanah. We say this before Mariv, right? We say this by a Kiddush. We say this pasuk that we are blowing a shofar at the end of the, when the month is being miskasa, when it's coming, the renewal of the month, which is Rosh Chodesh, Kilu. So Ezer Chag, so that's turning on to an example. When's the Chag? She'achodesh miskasimo, when the moon is covered, meaning most Chagim are not at the very beginning of the month. This is one of the only Chags that we have besides Rosh Chodesh, but I'm saying the Atzim, the Chag, Yom Tovim, is on the moon that's covered. That's only Rosh Hashanah. Haveil Meir is Rosh Hashanah. A lot of deeper things that I just realized that this concept of the moon is covered, there's a lot of machshava Shabbat behind this concept of Rosh Hashanah being specifically the only day that happens, only Chag that happens at the very beginning of the month, etc., that begins at this point. But this positive shot is that it's a month that it's hidden, and it's hidden, but hidden from the view. And we learn out that it's also hidden from the idea that it's something which Be'etzem is happening during Rosh Hashanah. We do a lot of things to hide, ki'ilu hide, that Rosh Hashanah, this concept of Miskasa, we have an additional level of interpretation, means it also should be hidden in the fact that we don't announce Birchas HaChodesh the month of Tishrei. We also stop blowing the shofar, someone understand that this also Miskasa, to Miskasa when Rosh Hashanah really is. We also, there's a few things that we do. We don't mention Rosh Chodesh really in our davening for Rosh Hashanah, because Miskasa, ki'ilu Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh is Miskasa. But Rav Nevins, I remember always that he would give out Yain and make this point, I think this pointing out that it's Rosh Chodesh also, he'd give out a little l'chaim for the fact that it's Yom Tov. Then he would say, "L'chavad Yom Adin," and then he would give another one, "L'chavad Rosh Chodesh," to point out that it's also Rosh Chodesh. We should understand that that's part of this miskasa. It's hidden, but it's still Rosh Chodesh. Again, so we're saying that it's covered, the judgment is covered, but yet it's going to be a judgment day for Yisrael and Mishra LeYaakov, and also a judgment day for the Hashem, the God of Yaakov. So we see that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Now we're going to learn a little bit more about the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Tanur, we learn Vayisam. Kichok Yisrael Mishra LeYaakov. The pasuk says it is a chok, literally a chok is something that's a law that's ingrained for Yisrael, and judgment day for Yaakov. Milamed Shein based in Shalmala Nifnasin Ladin, that teaches you that the heavenly court above, it doesn't enter judgment until Ella Ken Kitshu based in Shalmata Sechodesh, until the lower court has sanctified the new month. At that point, that's when Yisrael establishes, and we're learning out from the pasuk over Kichok Yisrael, when they establish that it's the new month, then Hashem is going to go judge Mishpat Yaakov, then Hashem is going to establish that it is in fact the new month. So the Gemara learns out, Tanya Ida, we're learning in a different place, a different drasha from this pasuk, Kichok Yisrael, who, that this is a lacha, a chok, a law for Israel. Ainly ali Israel. There's only a chok that should be day judgment for Israel. How do I know that also the non-Jews are also judgment? I always find it fascinating. A lot of times I had this chos down by Rav Nevinsel, so I'd walk back to Shaychas where I live. So I'm always like, sometimes I'll walk through the shuk, and like you see, like the Arabs are just living, you know, like the goyim around you are just, it's a regular day for them. Anyone who walks home from shul in America too, same thing. When you see the non-Jews around, the Imam don't realize the unfortunately some Jews don't realize either. But the emas adin, the fact that it's a mamish, a day where all being judged for the entire year, and they're just living their lives like it's a normal day. It's a bracha that we know that we have to be davening especially hard on the Rosh Hashanah to realize that it's the day of our judgment. So we say lumas laminayim. So that, how do we know that they're judged? Also, because the pasuk continues and says and seemingly repeats itself as a judgment day for the God of Yaakov. It already just told us that all that Yisrael is judged. So it must be that the repetition is a reference to the fact that the goyim are also judged. So why does it specifically say that? Chok Yisrael, this is a law for Yisrael, which indicates a judgment specifically for Klal Yisrael, not for the Umos HaOlam. Lamed Sheyisrael Nichnasin Tchila LaDin. It teaches us that Klal Yisrael, they enter first into judgment, only then do the non-Jews follow them. Kidur Rav Chista, and this follows the opinion of Rav Chista, who teaches us, Amar Rav Chista, who tells us, Melech V'tzibor, when it comes to a king, and the community need to be tried on judgment. So what's the din? Melech Nisra Tchila Din. First the king goes into judgment, and then the nation. Shinemar Mishpat Avdo Mishpat Amo Amo. First is the Mishpat of his servant, the judgment of his nation. And so when it comes to the king, this is a reference to Shlomo Melech. Rashi points out Shlomo Melech is referring to himself as the servant, and he should be the first one who's judged. So Gemara asks my time, why should the king be judged first? So Gemara gives two answers, because Ibais Ema Lava Rachara, Lameke Malka Abrai. It's not proper to make the king wait outside while everyone else is being judged. The king should be first. it's covered malchus. Or you could say mekame delipush charon af, or the king should be judged first in order that the sins of the public don't anger the person judging him. Kilo, in this case, it would be Hashem. So therefore Hashem would judge Klal Yisrael before the other nations. That in both reasons, it explained why Klal Yisrael come first. We're kilo the melech, we're the closer to one to judge Baruch Hu, so we should be judged first because one cares more about us. It's not right that we should wait until the goyim are judged. And the other answer is that also is that we want to have a more favorable judgment. We don't want the sins of the goyim to be affecting our judgment, so therefore Hashem judges first. Both answers explaining why Klal Yisrael should be judged first. Now the Mishnah also says, "Well, Shemitin, that the first of Tishrei is a new year for Shemitah, Alach LaMaisa, that was this year on Rosh Hashanah." We pointed out when we first mentioned this Mishnah on Daf Beis that we mentioned that also the halacha is that the halacha is pointed out, the post can bring down, that when you're saying a Shachiyana, usually Shachiyana is you're so excited to be in this time, and it's not a lot of times when you're able to climb a new mitzvah, let's say like Chanukah, the nearest Chanukah, or a Shachiyana for the mitzvah sitting in the sukkah, etc., or blowing shofar, all these mitzvahs that come once in a long time, we're so excited, we say Shachiyana, kemen kemen lezman hazeh. So the shayla is, my shminta, we don't make a bracha, why not? So the boys come in, no, we should. When you're saying a shachiyanu on Rosh Hashanah, the concept that we're excited for the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, the included in that shachiyanu should be in mind that you're excited to be kind of the mitzvah shmita, which is this year. The mitzvah of shmita is in fact this year. So the Gemara asks, Minalan, how do we know that the laws of shmita begin on Rosh Hashanah and are allowed to be worked from that time on? Maybe it should be a different date. So therefore, Rashi also mentioned that it's specifically referencing the law of shmita with regards to working the land. Even the seventh year, there's another halacha, that is the fact that we should cancel the debts should be cancelled. Rashi seemingly is indicating the most Rishonim that Shemitah is only, when it comes to the halachas of cancelling the loans, that's only going to be in the following year of the Shemitah. That's how we paskin. The beginning of this year was maybe also the halacha, I think, based on the Rosh. But Be'etzem, the most Rishonim Rashi indicates like he holds like Muslim, that should really only be the halachas of Shemitah, should be this halacha. So Gemara says, the Pasuk says, V'shena shviz shabbos shabboson yeh la'ovetz. The Pasuk says, the seventh year there should be a complete rest of the land. The Gamar Shana Shana Metishri, we learn now that Xerosheva, year and a year from the Psukim with regard to Tishrei. The Chsib Nereisi Shashana, the Pasuk says, the beginning of the year. This is a reference to Tishrei. So we learn now that the beginning of Shemitah is the beginning in Tishrei. So Gemara says, maybe we should learn Xer Shava to link the year and year from Nisan. The Pasuk says, Shana is mentioned in reference to Nisan, so maybe the halachas of Shemitah should only begin at Nisan. So my answer is no, you can't learn Nisan because the Pasuk says it doesn't mention anything about months. And the fact that Tishrei has an Indian of months, which I learned before about the fact that it's the first count of months, but that is showing that it's different than Shemitah. When it comes to the Tishrei, we learned it out that it didn't have any reference to months, so therefore it must be when it comes to Nisan, which does mention the fact that there are months, we would not derive that you should learn out that the Shemitah should be from the words of the Kesher, Shana. Rather, we learn out that it should be the Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. So now the Gemara says, Uliyovos, also the first of Tishrei is for the new year, for the Yovel. The Yovel Yovel, the 50th year, is the 50th, is the last of the seven cycles, so after year 49, so it's a double Shemitah. The 50th year is also usher to work the land, and not only that, all the Jewish slaves are freed, and all the land in Eretz Yisrael is going to return to the property of the people whose ancestors had that land, and it goes back to them. So really, there's no such thing as a full-time sale in Eretz Yisrael. So that is, and the blowing of the shofar, that's going to be when the Yovel is proclaimed. So Gemara says, Yovlos b'achar b'tishrei hu. Wait a second, the new year, the Yovel is on the first of Tishrei. Yovlos b'asar b'tishrei hu. We know based on the fact that you blew the pasuk says, "Dechsei b'yom kippurim taviru shofar bar tzeitzum." It says that you should blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of the Yovel year, and that year of the Yovel year on the Yom Kippur. The pasuk says, "Va'avarta shofar chu b'chodesh hashvi b'asur l'chodesh b'yom kippurim taviru shofar b'chol arzeichem." So that sounds like Yom Kippur very clearly is a day which everyone becomes free and the Yovel kicks in, not on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara answers, how many our Mishnah is actually the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Ob, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Baruch, who understands that the Yovel begins in the first of Tishrei and not that of Asara of Yom Kippur. The sign of the Brisa teaches you, Hikidashtem Eshnasa Chamishim, they should sanctify and make Kadosh the year of the 50th year. You should make it, we know that you go back to your ancestral lands and people who are proclaimed free, any every is going to become free in the 50th year. Mata Malumar, so what is the teaching? Or anybody who decides to came more than 7 years also, he'll go free at the Yovel year. So what, don't we already know that it's the 50th year? Because the Pasuk says, V'safar delcha sheva shabsoshanim, sheva panim shabpanim, v'yilecha yimei sheva shabsoshanim, tesha v'aram shana. So I know the year afterwards clearly is going to be the 50th year, is going to be Yovel. So I don't have to teach you a chiddush that year 50 is going to be the year of Yovel. I know that from this this other pasuk. So we have two pasukim seemingly repeating the same din. So Gemara says Lafisha Ne'emar, because the pasuk says on Yom Kippur, be Yom Kippurim, that Yom Kippur specifically should sound the shofar. So I would have thought Yachol Lusim, because it's just Yom Kippurim Veilach. I would have thought that the Shna of the Yovel, the year of the Yovel, only kicks in starting Yom Kippur. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says Vekidash Mishnas Hachamishim. The pasuk tells you that you should make Kadosh the 50th year, sanctify the 50th year. Milamech Miskadeshes Velechas Mitzchilasa. It's teaching you. In fact, the first of Tishrei makes it Kadosh. The first of Tishrei, it's usher to work the land, and the first of Tishrei, also you free your Jewish slaves. However, they do not actually leave until Yom Kippur. And what do they do then? What do they do from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? They do not actually become fully free. They don't return to their homes, but they're not slaved yet, because you have to pronounce them free already from Rosh Hashanah. So what do? So that's the steer, that's what the Chavar steer in the Pesukim. So the answer is no, that you make them free. Rather, they stay by their Adon. They would eat, they would drink, and they would literally have their crowns in their heads. What's this crowns? Those who daven the Sosfard in the benching, they have this Lashon, the Tzadikim, which should be Ne'an Nevezim Ashkenah, right? And it should be Yoshrim, and Biroshim, the similar Lashon, with the crowns in their heads. It could be maybe a spiritual crown, that's a reference because of the fact that they're free. Maybe Ba'etzim, that's the idea that the Tzadik also should be free. But the Pashup Shad is just that they could wear a crown to show that they're free. That's Rashi. The Miri understands that the crowns were actually turbans, that this is a Chash of a thing that they're making. Otei Sabatifara is a concept that we wear things in our head. That's what we say. Otei Sabatifara is the fact that we're. That's why some touch the Shulchan Tarosh, because it's really the glory of the splendor of our something that we wear on our head, more of a covering of our head. But that's what we wear. That's when you make that bracha. So similarly, they would have these crowns that maybe to demonstrate that they're free. Yom Kippur. So then, once Yom Kippur happens, Tiku Beistin Bashofar. Beistin would then sound the shofar. Niftar Avadim Levatim. And then the slaves would return free to their homes. Vishtados Chodros Levalein. And the fields return to their owners. That would happen only on Yom Kippur. So basically, there's two stages according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, and therefore that we understand that the fields don't take place until Yom Kippur. That the ownership is actually transferred until Yom Kippur, but again, they're not allowed to be worked and still already from Rosh Hashanah. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher. Then where it says Rabbanan, what did Rabbanan darish with this pasuk? You should be mekadesh the shnas chamishim, because again, that was extra. That's how Rabbi Yochanan ben Roka got to this whole drasha. So the Gemara points out shani matam mekadesh. You can mekadesh the years via tamiskadosh chadashim. However, you don't sanctify the months. You don't make the months kadosh. According to Rabbanan, that this is based on the Gemara and Erechin. The Gemara and Erechin tells us that the Yovel year that they learn that the Yovel year has to be mekadesh by Beis Din, which is in difference to the when it comes to Rosh Chodesh. That if Beis Din didn't pronounce Rosh Chodesh, but we really knew that that was the setting of the month, it would be mekadesh memeila. They do not need to declare it holy. They do not need to mekadesh kodesh. However, that's important to note that this lechora is not accepted. This is rejected. This is a minority opinion of Rabbi Lazar Ber Rabbi Shimon, which we'll get to Be'ez Hashem later in this Masechta, that their opinion, that most of them understand that Beis Din does need to miskadesh the new month, and if it's not, then you would have to wait till the next day to miskadesh the next month. So then, the Ritva points out, then if that's the case, the Gemara linked the concept of being miskadesh the new month with regards to the Yovel, with regards to Rosh Chodesh, to being tied into when Yovel would kick in. Would it be in Rosh Hashanah, or would it be in Yom Kippur? So the Ritva goes, if we go that we have to miskadesh Rosh Chodesh, which we do, which is against the Rabbanan Shrasha of this Chamishim Shana, so then the Chor would come out, is that we should hold like Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan Broka, in which case the Yovel should begin really from Rosh Hashanah, which in Echanami is the Ritva wants to pass, and that's the case. In Echanami he says, wow, fascinating thing that really the Yovel kicks in Rosh Hashanah, and this halacha about the interim stage from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur would be the halacha. You blow the shofar on the Yovel. Agav, the minhag to blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, one of the explanations brought down because we don't really have Yovel is manazeh as a zecher for the Yovel. When it happened, we would blow the shofar at the end of really, it was actually during Yom Kippur. We don't blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, but that would be the minhag. It's a very strong minhag that you could even do it a little bit before the zman of when Yom Kippur is fully over. Right, you're not allowed to take a kli of a musical instrument, but that would be a shvus mutter at that point, and you're allowed to blow the shofar as a zecher for this idea that the yovel happened. They would blow the shofar. So that's just to point out that that's where we get this minhag of blowing the shofar, and one of the reasons we get the minhag for blowing the shofar on Yom Kippur. Then the Gemara now points out Tana Idach. We learn another brisa. The other brisa tells us Yovel he. What does it mean? Yovel he. What is it teaching you that is Yovel he? The pasuk says Yovel he shnas chamishim shana. So we learned out that it already says the 50th year is called Yovel. Why does the Torah repeat that Yovel is the 50th year? We learn out that it says you should be miskadesh the 50th year. You would have thought it just becomes kadosh from the beginning from Rosh Hashanah. So does remain kadosh from Rosh Hashanah to the Yom Kippur the following year. So we learn out that meaning that it should go and it should continue until the next Yom Kippur. So I don't know, it doesn't. Val Tatame. And don't wonder, Shari Musaf Nechol HaKodesh, we're going to learn that Halacha Mamash tomorrow's daf about the concept of Musaf Nechol HaKodesh for Shemitah purposes. So I would have thought maybe also you should do it for the purpose of Yovel. You should extend Yovel until the next Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is really when the final stage of freeing the people. Amen. Rosh Hashanah is when you actually free them, but they don't go home till Yom Kippur. So maybe you should have thought you should continue Yovel till Yom Kippur. Tambalomer Yovel Hil Shnasa Chamishim. Now Yovel, he is only the 50th year. Shnasa Chamishim Atam Mekadesh. Mekadesh, you only Mekadesh the 50th year, and not V'atam Mekadesh Shnasa Chamishim V'achas. You do not make Kadesh the fifth, any part of the 51st year. So that means that the year ends exactly on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with the Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan do with this Yovel Shnasa Chamishim Shana? What that extra drasha? Be'ez Rosh Hashem on tomorrow's daf.